Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
I'll be sitting down with some phenomenal women to discuss love.
I believe we grew distant out of love of some type, like, yeah. I don't want to hurt you.
Loss.
Really don't know what's going to trigger that feeling of grief in any moment.
And a topic very important to my work, self-care.
Freedom is self-care. It's not about pedicures. It's not about clothing. It's not about trips.
Join us as we journey through sharing together. Today on the show, I'm sitting down with a friend of mine named Chanel Lewis. She's a photographer, a community organizer, a wife, and an overall just amazing woman. I'm honored to have her on the show today, and I think you all are really going to enjoy our conversation. Get your journals out. She drops some gems. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. How are you?
Chanel, I'm good. How are you today?
I am very well.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm honored to have you on the show and so excited about our conversation on the horizon. But before we get started, please tell the Hey Girl listeners who you are and what you do.
So my name is Chanel Lewis. And I am a wife, a traditional 9-to-5er. I do a lot of work in my community up here in Portland, Maine. I'm a woman of color in Maine, so a lot comes with that. Photographer, and just general lover of people, community, and culture.
I really love that you led with 9-to-5er too. Because a lot of our conversation is going to be centered around balancing our creative heart, right? Your photography and our just belonging in the world in a way that kind of fuels our creativity. And then also the 9-to-5 part, which kind of funds the ability to move through the world in a creative way. A little bit. I know that we've talked about you've had a gallery show and like all these big, beautiful things that you've been doing in Maine. So before we get into like the chunk of our conversation, let's talk about that a little bit. Being a wife and a 9-to-5er who also has a creative heart and is a photographer and is a writer and is building community in Maine.
Yeah, I will say it's taken me a long time to finally say that I'm a photographer, I'm a creative. I think I felt for a long time that that meant I had to have formal training and do it as my full-time gig, like pay the bills with it. Mm-hmm. And actually last year when I did a lot of introspection, I think 2018 for a lot of people was really rough, but for me it was internal, a lot of internal processing and figuring out what my needs are and what I want from this life. And it was in that year that I started calling myself a photographer. And it was through that, I think I unintentionally set the intention to lean into that. Mm-hmm. So I work a traditional 9-to-5. I work doing employer relations for the public university in the area. And that by no means is the thing that fills me all the way. One thing that has been steady in my life in terms of bringing me joy, and this is a big part of the work I'm doing with myself in this year, is like, what's my joy moment? Mm-hmm. And how can I move through the world through that? It's always been photography. So I've always been the friend that has the camera. I've always been documenting experiences and moments and memories. And once I realized that my 9-to-5 wasn't doing it for my soul and mm-hmm. feeding my soul the same way, mm-hmm. I think it opened up the opportunity for me to explore what it meant to be a photographer and to own it, right? To challenge myself and to create projects and to do it without the expectation of being the breadwinner or whatever the case might be. I just had the opportunity to create and it brought me joy. And that's just been awesome. It's been my therapy. It's been my journal. Mm. It's been my release for as long as I can remember. And for the first time, I feel very comfortable saying that I'm a photographer. There are still moments when I get asked to do certain things and I'm like, oh no, I don't have the right equipment. I don't have the formal training and the softwares. Mm. Like, I don't know any of these things, mm. but I feel for the first time that like this is a part of who I am. And as long as I continue to ignore that, it will always feel unsettled. Mm. So it feels good. It feels good to finally say like, yeah, I do this 9-to-5 thing. And that really helps to pay my mortgage and to support my family and the goals that we're setting for ourselves in terms of financial stability and health, while also providing a less kind of stringent relationship to photography. Like, I'm just able to do it without the pressure of, mm-hmm. you know, getting the contracts, all of those things. It just makes me feel really, really good.
And filled. That's what I hear you say. And filled, yeah. And joyful.
I almost got emotional talking about it. And I think I was like swallowing it back because I think I've never given myself the chance to think about it in the way that I just expressed, where it's something that I've always relied on to bring me back to myself, kind of being creative and being able to tell stories and being able to share my eye with the world, yeah. and with my friends. It's the way that I find connection to my community is to share what I see and to see if people feel the same way or if it evokes the same emotion.
So I do want to talk about imposter syndrome because I heard that come up. And I think a lot of people have that same feeling. I know when I first started writing and publishing books, I wouldn't call myself an author. I would call myself just a writer. And before then, I called myself someone who just liked to write. So I had someone ask me recently, when did you start identifying as a writer? And I was like, whoa, that's a big question. And it's a big question because like you, I have thought in the past, you know, I'm a I'm an English major dropout. Journalism dropout. I changed my major so many times when I was in college. Mm-hmm. And then I finally stopped going to college because I was only going for my parents and not going for myself, which was a whole nother leg of imposter syndrome, right? Trying to be somebody that I thought other people wanted me to be, right? So like you, I've thought like, can I even be a writer? I don't have my degree in English. I don't have my mm-hmm. degree in journalism. I mean, I started it, but I didn't finish. So I'm really a failure when I think about it. You know, like those types of like negative self-talk I had to talk myself out of. So I want to hear from someone who has had those same feelings and has been able to kind of push through it and talk through it, even if it's in a more recent time frame. So what would you share about that and about your feelings around identifying as a photographer, but then feeling like you don't have the qualifications to be.
Yeah, that's a great question. So summer of 2018, I submitted some work for a show, and you know, feeling like, oh, I didn't edit this correctly. I don't know how to use these tools. My photos look awful. And even when I got accepted into the show, like, I don't know how to go through framing. I don't know how to talk to a printer. Mm. I don't know how much this is going to cost. And at every step, I was talking myself out of it until I realized I'm doing something that I sought out to do. why can't I just do it? Like, why can't I just lean into the discomfort and be comfortable being uncomfortable?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I don't have to enter every situation being the expert. I don't always have to have 100% of the qualifications, right? I think about this a lot because my other part of my world is like organization development, talent acquisition, like HR stuff.
Yeah.
and like white men move through the world like not thinking about whether they have 100% of the qualifications. And like, how can I just do myself justice, right? And lean into the discomfort and figure out, well, I'm here for a reason. Like, I'm not here because my work sucks, or
right.
I just have to push through. And honestly, it took some of my dearest friends saying, like, no, you're a photographer. You know, when I was like, when people would ask, "Well, what do you do?" or, and I would give the, you know, "I work here, I do this," and I would have friends from the back say, "And she's a photographer." And for a long time, I just kind of like shrugged that off. But I just have to. It got to a point where I was annoying myself and holding myself back. And that's not what I want for me. I want more, and I want the things that are going to challenge my comfort and challenge my learning. And I went through the show. I spent a lot of money that I didn't expect to spend. but I did it. And at the end of the day, doing something, even when I feel uncomfortable, is better than sitting in that comfort with that security blanket and never feeling the feelings I felt stepping out of that comfort zone.
How does you being able to name, you know, I do this and I also do this, how has that given you a sense of freedom and an identity in the world, like a place of belonging almost?
Well, it's made it possible for me to just be and not be like this one thing and this one thing only, right? So being a wife and having a really amazing relationship with my husband and this really great partnership can exist while I'm also chasing this career as like a 9-to-5er, and can exist while I'm doing this work in photography. Like, it can all coexist. I don't have to choose. I can just choose me. And the things that bring me joy, I can always choose. And I don't have to subscribe to what society says is like, oh, you're a professional photographer, or, you know, you're a wife, so you have to do this, or you are in community engagement, so your activism has to look this way. Like, I don't have to subscribe to those things. I can define those things for myself.
Right. That's big.
Oh, and it feels so good. It feels so good to just define what I need and what I want for my life and do it.
So to switch gears a bit, I want to talk about your TEDx talk, Listening is Radical. And when I first heard it, it blew me away. And I keep it in my favorites. I sent it to myself in email, and I keep it in my favorites. And I also send it to my clients. When I give them their resource worksheets, your TED Talk is in there. And One, I want to talk about how that came to be. And two, how that felt to be on the stage. You have such a presence and such clarity in the messages that you talk about. What did that feel like for you?
Yeah, so I'll talk a little bit about how I entered that work. And so like a lot of people after the 2016 election, I had a lot of feelings. And one of the feelings that I felt was we need to do a better job at communicating and listening to each other. And the way that I find I can be active in moving our society forward is being a person that promotes communication, especially listening, and how listening is an act that is radical and that is healing, and it builds empathy and compassion. And so when I started doing that work, it led me to the opportunity to do a TEDx talk. And at first, I mean, there goes that imposter syndrome, right? It's like, who am I to do this? You know, I watched TEDx talks. I'd watched a number of them online. And I thought that I didn't deserve the spotlight in that way. But what the experience taught me was that everyone has a story to tell. And being on the stage was another moment for me to step into that discomfort and learn how to be comfortable in it. And so being on stage and sharing my story and also sharing my form of activism to the world felt like I was leaving behind something that was greater than myself. And we've talked about legacy before.
Yeah.
And like, this is a thing that feels applicable to any era, right? Like any part of your journey. It's something that you can use when you're trying to move through different spheres and different relationships. I've practiced radical listening with my husband, with my friends, in the workplace. And we're taught to persuade and to argue and to debate. We're not taught to listen.
Mm.
We're not taught to listen in the way that allows us to truly understand the person's context, their background, why they feel the way they feel. We're taught to listen to then react and respond and then sow in doubt so that we can win the argument.
Right.
And once I had the opportunity to share that, I almost felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders, because this is something that I just proselytize. Like, I want people to be better listeners.
Mm.
And the more that I entered this work, I realized how awful of a listener I was and how you can share an idea about something, like you can share an idea to the world. And what I learned from like not being an expert is like I can still share my ideas and not be perfect at what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can still be a work in progress and still have something to share.
Yeah, that "and still" is big. Isn't it huge? Like,
oh,
it's major. That's something I've been moving through, especially last year, that "and still." The I am and still. So I can completely relate to that and lean into that with you. And I'm so thrilled that you felt brave enough and bold enough to give your voice a stage, you know, because that's hard. It's a hard thing to do, especially when our doubts come in and negative self-talk seeps in, and to be able to stand above that and say, hey, wait a minute, I'm the boss here. And I know what the truth is, right? And I'm going to build and speak and move forward regardless of what that little voice inside tells me, you know? So I think that's huge. I think that is huge. you mentioned radical listening in marriage. And I want to lean into that a little deeper and learn from you what radical listening as a wife has taught you about hearing your husband with a new set of ears, maybe.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh. So one of the things I realized in this entire process is how awful of a listener I am. And a part of radical listening for me is asking precise questions, and not so that you get the answer that you want, but so that you get the answer you need or that needs to be, you know. And when my husband and I were in a rut and we're coming up on 10 years being together and 3 years married. And so we've grown up together and things like that. And some of the traits that we had learned via society, even our own upbringing around how you talk to each other, how you listen to each other, we were trying our hardest to redefine. And I wanted to be a better listener to my husband. I needed to ask questions so that I can learn what his needs are. And I also want him to ask me questions so that he can learn what my needs are, so that when we're talking to each other, we can truly listen, and we can listen for the things that we're also not saying, and be able to ask questions that elucidate the unsaid. And so radical listening shows up when I asked my husband, like, what are your love languages? And once we had that conversation, for me, listening is not only just like giving someone your attention, but it's followed by action. And so then being able to practice the love language. So his first love language is words of affirmation. And as I would look back on our relationship, I would nitpick the hell out of him and say the things that he wasn't doing right. And seldom would I say the things that he was doing right. And being able to listen to him, it radically shifted how we communicate, and it radically shifted how I interact with him. And so knowing that that's a key component of the health of our relationship, I'm able to say, hey, thanks so much for doing this, or I saw that you do this and I did this and I really appreciate it. And how that has transformed how we communicate with each other, even if we're disagreeing and we're having a little back and forth, we can always come back to, what are our needs? How can we be better listeners to each other? And how can we be better doers with the information that we have? Right? It's like, now that we have this information, we can move forward well informed. And then, like, you have to be willing to listen to the things that you might not be doing right, or it might not be working the way that you want it to work, or it might just be your rules and no rules, right? And so I had to be open to listening to his feedback so that I can be a better partner. And I could also be a better advocate for what I needed in our relationship.
How does self-care play a role in your identity as an individual? As a wife, as a photographer, and as someone who builds community through her 9-to-5.
Yeah. Self-care is a daily practice, and self-care for me is having very intimate touch points with my friends. It's having no tech during dinner. My husband and I sit down at the table. we put our phones away and we eat dinner and talk to each other. That's our check-in. That's truly that's what I need.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise. It's taking a break when I need it. I am pro mental health day in this 9-to-5 world. Like if I wake up and I'm not feeling it, that's why they give me sick days, because I just know when I need time for me. And for my photography, oh gosh, like that is the ultimate self-care. And what I feel is the dissonance between wanting to do more with my photography while not making it a stressor, because it's self-care for me. So how do I reconcile those two desires of this being my self-care while also wanting to see my work grow? So that's something that I'm still working through. I think that's a part of it too. Like self-care is being able to listen and to do something with the information that you now have.
I think that's a great way to end. Chanel, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you.
The Hey Girl podcast is a member of The District Productive, produced by Paul, Woody Woodhall, and me, Alex L. Music by DC's own Kokai.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.